Okay, so the theme of our holiday Bible Club week was the great escape. We thought a lot in lots of different ways about what it means to escape or to be rescued. And we had a story each day from the Bible. And what we said was, wasn't it, that because it was from the Bible, it meant that it really happened. So even though some pretty amazing stuff was going on, that maybe kind of made us think, wow, could that really have happened? Because it was in the Bible, we know that it's true. I just want to run through, just for a few minutes now, the three different parts of the story that we looked at over our Holiday Bible Club week. I think we should do 5 days of Holiday Bible Club. Do you think we should do 5 days? The leaders are kind of going, no, no. That's a full week. Then we can call it Holiday Bible Club week. It's kind of like Holiday Bible Club half week, isn't it, at the moment? So I think, kids, do you think we should do 5 days? There you go. The kids have spoken, kind of. Okay. Well, what do we look at on our first day? Let's see if this button works. You know, it doesn't normally work for me. Go on, Dave. There we go. Wonderful. Okay. There's a group of people called the Israelites. Where were they? Right at the beginning, on Wednesday, where were they when we first heard the story? Yes. That's right. You know the answer. You weren't even there. Fantastic. Well done. They were in Egypt. And obviously, Egypt's a country that's been in the news a lot recently for very different reasons. But this is something which happened thousands of years ago. And they were in Egypt. Were they happy? They were not. Why were they not happy? Someone put your hand up and tell me why they were not happy. Isabella, yes.
Because they were slaves.
Brilliant. Okay, they were slaves. Go for the next picture, please, Dave. Thank you. Brilliant. They were slaves. They were not happy. They had to do stuff like baking bricks, okay, out of straw. That's not a good thing to have to do when it's really, really hot. They had to move bricks around. They had to make buildings. And it was hard, hard work. And they had no freedom. They had to do what they were told. The guy in charge of Egypt, Pharaoh, would set sort of slave masters over them, and they had no freedom of their own. They just had to do the things that Pharaoh and the slave masters told them to do, and so they were not happy. And we learned, didn't we, that during that time, they cried out to God. Because they were so sad, and because they just wanted to be free again, they cried out to God. And what did God do? Don't put your hands up. What did God do? Yes.
God said, "I'll help you," and then Moses.
That's right. Yeah.
God said, "Take your shoes off."
Okay. that's right. So God sent someone called Moses. He spoke to him in an amazing way. And he did tell Moses to take his sandals off. We won't go into quite into that now. But he spoke to Moses and said, go to Egypt and go to Pharaoh. And what did Moses have to say when he went to Pharaoh? Can I remember? What did he have to say? Yes. Brilliant. Let my people go. They were slaves. They had to work hard. They wanted to be free. And so they cried out to God. God heard their cry, and then he sent someone, Moses, to go to be God's messenger to set the people free, to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. And on that first day, we kind of tried to think a little bit about ourselves. And we kind of thought, well, okay, we're not kind of slaves in chains like that. And we don't maybe have to go around making bricks for people. Does anyone here have to go around making bricks for people? Do your parents get you making bricks? No? Good. Do your parents put you in chains? No? Good. Who's putting their hands up? Hey, we'll speak to you afterwards, okay? But, you know, you're not in slaves like that. But, actually, we're all slaves in one way. Because no matter how hard we try, we always do bad things. Things are wrong. We don't do bad things all the time. You know, this Holiday Bible Club this week, you were so brilliant at listening and joining in and so well behaved. It was a pleasure to have all of you. Can't say the same thing about the leaders, but, you know, for the kids, you were brilliant. You were so well behaved all the time. But if we're honest, we know that there are times when we think things in our head that we shouldn't think about other people, maybe about God. Or we say things to other people that we know we shouldn't say. Or we do things that hurt other people. And we do that every day. If we try and get up in the morning and say, right, today, I'm going to be perfect. Anyone ever try to do that? Today, I am going to be perfect. Everything that I think is going to be lovely and fluffy and nice. I'm just going to think nice, happy bunny thoughts about people. And nothing nasty at all. We can't do it. Or our words that we use. I'm not going to say anything nasty to someone. I'm not going to use the wrong tone of voice to somebody. I'm always going to tell the truth every second, every minute of the day. Well, we can't really do that either. And in our actions as well, we may think, I'm going to live perfectly today. Everything I do is going to be of benefit to everyone around me. I'm not going to be selfish at all in the things that I do. But we very quickly discover that though we may kind of think, yeah, I can be perfect, I can live as I want to live, we soon discover actually our hands, they are in chains, because we'll find ourselves still doing things, thinking things, saying things that are wrong, no matter how hard we try not to. And that was the kind of lesson we were really kind of thinking about on that first day. But we didn't stop there, because we realised that God has the power to make a big difference. So we can have the next slide up, Dave. So we saw God's power displayed, or God's power shown, to Pharaoh and to the Israelites. And God did lots of amazing things, didn't he, to show Pharaoh how powerful he was. So let's have a picture of the first one up, Dave. This is one of the things that we looked at. I don't know if you can see that. It's a lot clearer on that screen, so you guys have got a great view. There we go. What's happening in that picture from one of our stories this week? Can anyone tell me what's happening? You'd like to... Yeah. There was a plague of frogs. God sent loads and loads of frogs on the land of Egypt. Now, some of you here may like frogs. And, you know, frogs in small numbers are generally fine, aren't they? There's one or two frogs, it's okay. But there was loads and loads and loads of frogs. And you may kind of ask yourself the question, why on earth did God do that? Why did God decide to show his power by sending lots and lots of frogs on that? This seems a little bit random, doesn't it, really? Why frogs? Well, there is actually a very good reason. We have the next slide, please, Dave. Okay, now, you don't know who that is, probably. But that is, I'm probably going to pronounce this completely wrongly, but Heket, I think, or Hecate, or something like that. But one of the Egyptian gods. Now, looking at the shape of the head, what do you think this person is meant to be the Egyptian god of, do you reckon? Yes. Frogs. Okay, the Egyptians worshipped a god who's in charge of frogs. What a job that must have been, eh? To be in charge of all the frogs. But what God was doing with all the frogs in the land of Egypt wasn't just God going, I'm just going to randomly send an animal to attack the Egyptians. He's showing to the Egyptians that he's more powerful, not only than Pharaoh, but than actually that the false gods that actually the Egyptians were worshipping. And he's saying to Pharaoh, look, the people that you think, the gods that you worship, that you think, hey, they're going to get you out of this, I have power over them. Next slide, please, Dave. Okay, now, something else God did. Okay, it looks like a blank slide, but it's not. Well, it is, but it's blank for a reason. What else did God do? Yes? He made it all go dark, didn't he? Okay, so it was really, really dark. So the Egyptians couldn't see what they were doing. And again, this wasn't God just doing something kind of random, thinking, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll get them all to bump into each other. Again, Dave, you have the slide. Again, one of the big Egyptian gods, in a sense, was a guy called Ra. Okay, and there he is, with either a balloon on his head, possibly, or a speech bubble that's just out in the wrong place. Probably meant to be the sun, I think actually is what it's meant to be, because Ra was the Egyptian god of the sun. And again, by making everything go dark, what is God saying? God is saying, Pharaoh, not only am I more powerful than you, but I'm also more powerful than one of the gods that you worship, Ra, because I can turn the place dark, and Ra can do nothing about it, because he has no power. And so on the second day, we considered how much power God had, and God showed all these different things, didn't he, to Pharaoh. But what did Pharaoh keep saying?
No.
Pharaoh kept on saying no, and God showed him again, and again, and again, and Pharaoh kept on saying no, 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 until right at the end, when God showed him something so amazing that Pharaoh actually had to come and say, yes, you are God. And what did he say for the Israelites to do? What did he want the Israelites to do, Pharaoh? He wanted them to...
go.
He wanted them to go. He said, go, leave my country. These slaves who had been working for him, and he wanted to hold on to them for so long. But when he saw God's power at work, he said to the Israelites, okay, just go and just leave my country. And the great thing about God is that he is more powerful than anything we can either imagine or think about. He can do things that nobody else can do. So when we think of ourselves being those slaves and thinking, how do I get out of being a slave to those wrong things that I do? I can't do it, but God can. So each day at Holiday Club, we had a character who turned up. We had Elvis, but we had someone else as well who came along each day who thought he could escape from things. Who was that? And remember, put your hands up. Who was that? Yes. The Great Escapo, yes. And what did he try to escape from on the first day? Can I remember? What was the first? Yes. There was some ropes. Was he able to escape? No, someone had to help him, didn't they? What about the second day? What did he have to escape from on the second day? Someone who's not answered the question yet. Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, there's some handcuffs. When they're genuine handcuffs, yeah. And he couldn't get out of those. On the third day, what did he have to get out of on the third day? Anyone yet? Yeah?
The water.
Yes, where was the water?
It
was in a big bin, wasn't it? And it was very cold water, wasn't it? And it was in a bin, and he had to get it. Could he get out? Could he escape? No. Three times he tried to escape from something by himself, and he couldn't do it. He needed someone else to come in and to rescue him. And that was the same with the Israelites, wasn't it? They couldn't get out of it by themselves, but God is powerful, and therefore he can rescue people. Final one. So there we go. God's people were rescued. They were out of Egypt, but the story didn't quite end when they left Egypt, did it? Because as they left, the Egyptians started to chase them. Pharaoh started to chase them with his armies and his chariots until they got to... Where did they arrive at? Where did they get to? Can I put your hand up? Where did they get to? Yes. Yeah, it was that big lot of water, wasn't it? It was the Red Sea. If we can have the picture up, which I doubt you're going to be able to see much of. No, not too bad. Could be worse. There's the Red Sea. It's not a photograph from Moses' time, because they didn't have photographs in those days. Okay, and I said to my group, actually, if you go out, maybe a few metres out into the Red Sea, and you start to kind of, you know, go and get like a rake or something, you start to comb the soil, and you go diving, and maybe you're driving for treasure in the Red Sea, and you sort of stir up the bottom, eventually... you may find my original wedding ring because it's in there somewhere. So if ever you're swimming in the Red Sea and you find it and you want to bring it back to me, that'd be great. This is number two because it slipped off my finger, but never mind. This one was cheaper. It's fine. But the Red Sea, it's a real place. It's a real place you can go and visit. It's a lovely place to go and see. But for the Israelites, as they're there on the bank of the Red Sea, they have a problem because the water is huge. There's an army behind them. And they start to kind of grumble and moan at Moses and say, what are we going to do? We're stuck now. We may as well have stayed in Egypt. Because now we've got a really angry army chasing after us. And we have nowhere to go. But what happened next? Were they stuck? Did the army catch them? Did they have to try and swim across? I have to say that singing our theme song during the week kind of took out any cliffhanger element at this point in the story, by the time we got to Friday. But what happened? Yes. That's right. God sent this mighty wind and a path was created between the Red Sea and the waves and the water was pushed up to one side. And it does seem amazing, doesn't it? And you kind of think, you look at that there, and you just try and imagine that actually happening, that water being pushed to one side and a path being created. And some people kind of look at that and they kind of think, well, come on, how could that have happened? How can that really have taken place? But if God is real, if God exists, as the Bible says that he does, and if he is all-powerful, as the Bible says that he is, then actually pushing aside two bits of water for some people to walk through is actually not that difficult. It's impossible for us, but it's not impossible for God. And he did it. And God's people, what did they do? They went through, didn't they, the pathway until they crossed right over to the other side. And once all of God's people were through, what happened then to the water? What happened to the water afterwards? Anyone know? Okay, go on. You weren't there, but go on, ask the question. That's right. The water all came back in. It covered the pathway and it covered the army that were chasing, didn't it, the Israelites as well. And so for God's people, for the Israelites, as they look back, Okay, they've gone through the pathway and the water closes back over it. And it's God saying, you have now been rescued. Okay, in a sense, there's no way back to slavery in Egypt. You've now been rescued. It's done. It's finished. It has been completed. And you know, God says exactly the same thing for us today. Not that we've gone through a pathway through two massive, great big bits of water. But when we think of all the bad stuff that we do in our lives, God has made a way. He has made a path because he sent his son Jesus to die for us on the cross that we can be forgiven for all the bad stuff. And when we're forgiven and when we kind of sort of look back and we look back at all the bad stuff we've done, it's completely done. It's completely finished with. In the same way that God then sent those waters back down, covering up that path. Done. Finished. No way back. And that's the good news of what the Bible tells us. That we can think, oh no, but I'm stuck. I'm always doing bad things. I wish I could be a better person. I'm going to try really, really hard. The Bible says no matter how hard we try, we cannot rescue ourselves. The Israelites couldn't rescue themselves. They couldn't do it. They needed God to come in and God to make the way, God to make the path. And he's done that for us as well. And the Israelites didn't have to do anything to earn their way across the Red Sea. God didn't kind of say to them, okay, well now you've got here, I want you to do this, 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 and this, and then you can come across the Red Sea. He didn't say that. He says, look, here's the way, here's the path, go through it. And that is what God says about the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't say, okay, before you come to know Jesus, do this, 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 and this. He said, here is my son Jesus. He came and he died and he rose again so that you could be free and you could be forgiven. Just come to him and you can know that your life of slavery, in a sense, is behind you. And you can live knowing you have a hope of everlasting life, eternal life, enjoying God and all his goodness forever and ever. And that's great news. And for the Israelites, as they came through the Red Sea, in one sense, that was just their start of their journey. Lots and lots of other stuff happened to them. They hadn't kind of arrived then. Maybe Holiday Bible Club next year will tell you what happened next. If you can remember that far and look ahead to next February, maybe we will. But they had more stuff still to go on. It was just the beginning of their journey. And it's the same when someone comes to know Jesus. It's the beginning, in a sense, of a journey. It's new life. And it's looking ahead, but it is knowing real and lasting forgiveness and peace and freedom. Freedom, that's what it is to be a Christian. It's not about slavery and being in chains. Lots of people see it to be like that, but it is not. It is about freedom. Freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is available for anyone. You don't have to do anything beforehand to achieve it. All you need to do is to come in humble faith and say, Jesus, you have done it all for me. It's you. It's about you, not about me. I can't do it, but you can. You can save me. You can rescue me.